Hey, greetings, friends. My name's Andy Steelsmith. So this week, my message is entitled, When the Fish Aren't Biting. As Christians, we so often seem to remember the times of challenge in our lives rather than the times of blessings and favor. It seems that we're so often being challenged, attacked, tested, or refined as believers, and yet even if the seasons of blessings sometimes seem lean or far apart, they always return. In fact, the times of greatest trial always seem to precede the times of greatest blessing. That certainly has been the case in my faith walk. And so today I'm reminding myself as much as you that when the fish just don't seem to be biting, that sometimes we should just focus on the other side of the boat. This reminds me of the story of the disciples fishing all night and not catching a single fish. In John 21, it says, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out into the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, Fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. And then later in the passage, it says, Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Friends, obedience produces good fruit. Every single time I read this story, I'm struck by that simple truth. Scripture talks to how we need to show obedience in order to produce fruitfulness. Time and time again in the scriptures, we see this. Jesus says, your faith has healed you in Mark 10:52. In John 5:8, it says, pick up your mat and walk. In the story of Lazarus, he said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, go ahead, take away the stone. Then Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. And we all know the improbable that happens in the story of the fall of Jericho. And so, friends, it can be in our lives too. You see, God calls us to do just what he says to do, even if it seems illogical or ridiculous to do what he is asking. And the next great lesson in this text is that obedience shows our faithfulness to God. If we go back to John 21, you have to imagine the disciples were asking themselves, why would casting the nets onto the other side of the boat make any difference at all? After all, they've been there all day without catching a single fish. But then a stranger who they didn't initially recognize as Jesus says to cast the nets on the other side of the boat. And they did this in a last-ditch effort in the hope that doing something different might just produce a different result. I've read one commentary that suggests that the right side of the boat may even have been the side closest to the shore, and thus with even shallower water, yet again more unlikely to show up a catch of fish. I'm told by good fishermen that generally the deeper the water, the more plentiful the catch. But what a different result this illogical action produced. Abundance. But the key here, friends, was not the size of the catch, but their obedience in response to Jesus. I'm sure we all have areas in our lives where we believe that God has spoken and told us to do something that just doesn't seem to make sense. In my case, it didn't make sense that a privileged businessman would walk closely amongst the gangs of South Africa. But God spoke, and whilst I often don't hear well or obey well enough, I'm glad that on that occasion I obeyed. What examples can you think of where God has spoken and it hasn't seemed sensible, and yet you've obeyed and either have seen his purposes fulfilled, or just simply had the peace that comes from knowing that you've been obedient despite that having come at a cost? And finally, friends, it's all about his timing, not ours. God's timing and the act of casting the nets to the other side is key. It has to be in his timing, not ours. He's always on time, never early, but also never late. You see, it wasn't about the other side. It was about being obedient to God's perfect will and in his perfect timing. You see, Jesus always knew their need, but he came and provided them with the answer just in time. Friends, God's timing really is always perfect. Just yesterday, another Australian pastor friend and I were in Manenberg, Gag Central, ministering to the family of one of our fallen gang members there, when the police anti-gang unit came crashing literally through the door en masse, 9mm pistols and shotguns cocked and ready to fire. In a heartbeat, things could have so easily gone sideways, as the young officers who came through the doors first were clearly not old enough to be highly experienced, and the tension in the air, you could have cut up with a knife. But God's timing was perfect. Just as my friend Pastor Phil and I were being searched and subjected to the same indignities that our colored brothers and sisters get subjected to, sometimes even daily. In marched a seasoned, wise, and incredibly street-smart captain, a decent man. He greeted us and said, "Don't worry, Pastor. We'll leave soon." The potential chaos returned to calm and order in a heartbeat. And again, friends, that's always how it seems to be with God. His provision is never ahead of time, but always right on time. And for that, yesterday, we were particularly thankful.